Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat.
They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Look at that. Hello, good morning. Yes, indeed. The second hour of the radio program, Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, YouTube. Good morning, YouTube. We always love the sickos that are with us at 6 AM, rising and shining with us as we talked about garbage and cats. Kind of the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Lot to get to in the old second hour of the radio program. Do you like chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream? Oh, you didn't answer quick enough. You're out. Get out of here. Go away. Never want to see you again. I don't trust you.
I can't handle a third down.
There are contexts to that question that we will get to and give you the backstory to it. I have a random, what is the enemy of my enemy is my friend?
You got to keep your friends close, your enemies closer.
So I'm kind of curious if the enemy of the enemy is your friend, or are you friends with this enemy over that enemy?
Okay, I got a frenemy now.
There's a battle brewing.
Ooh.
In college football,
ooh,
that I'm going to randomly throw at dirt. It's spring ball, by the way.
Yes, it is.
We just talked to Jamarcus Shepherd. He was delightful to catch up with.
Oh, you guys had him on last week?
We did. Yeah.
How
we
was he? Was he good?
He was good. He started out in the car.
Okay.
He's clearly, I'm going to the office.
Running around. I'm doing stuff. Yeah.
But he was great. He was fun to talk with and ran through kind of the gamut of spring football and everything that's been going on in his life.
Spring games are right around the corner, man.
Yes.
I'm still going to try and go, depending on the weather. I haven't fully decided yet, because if it's going to be bad weather, I'm not driving down. But if it's going to be nice, I'm going to take Teddy down to the game.
So spring football is in the air. We will talk some spring football. We did get some local Blazer news yesterday. Did you see this?
How about Blazer ball back in action today?
So the Blazers will play Spurs. The Spurs will not be playing Wemby tonight.
No.
He'll come back against the Mavericks, play 21 minutes, and check out of there, because he only needs one more game to be eligible.
Yes, and their playoff standing is locked in, and other than that, they have nothing to play for in the last week of the regular season.
So it's all kind of but a wrap. I don't know if the Blazers will win tonight. The Clippers also play. They play the Thunder. You mentioned everything being a wrap. Are the Thunder?
Yeah, the Clips got a win last night, so they're one full game ahead
of the Blazers.
With three games to play.
Everybody's
three
got
go.
Three left, but
and they
got
a head-to-head left.
Yes, and a head-to-head on Friday.
And then Friday here in Portland.
So, depending how tonight goes, Friday could be...
For all the marbles.
The next biggest game in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. We got a lot of big games.
We finally got some big games.
It's been a while.
And some of the news that came out yesterday is Vete Krejci upgraded.
Yes!
The
yes! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
No longer will I have to see him in those massive pants he wears every single game, because massive pants are back in style.
Very big pants.
My nephew wears very big pants.
What's with that?
Like,
JNCO's back?
Yeah, but like the pants that like we didn't wear in massive wise, they were the like they were almost the emo goth kids.
Yes, I never those pants. Were the more, yeah they were not the popular kid pants.
No, they weren't the good baggy pants. Are they so wide?
We wore jeans that were too big and that were down below our ass over a pair of basketball shorts. That was normal
with rubber bands at the bottom.
Nothing wrong about that whatsoever in terms of youth dress code. But the huge like parachute looking pant thing. I don't understand why those are back in style.
My sag level did go. I had a PE teacher named Tim Mitchell, and he's one of my favorite teachers of my life.
Oh, but he was always telling you to pull your pants up.
Pull your pants up.
Tim, you did not mess with Tim Mitchell, man. Like, he had the full look of somebody that if anything goes down,
right,
you wanted nothing to do with Tim Mitchell.
No. Right.
He had the dreads back in the day, always had a little air to himself, like, he got to a certain level before school started, if you catch my drift.
He was feeling high.
Love that guy. One of my all-time favorite humans. But I will never forget the sag level in which I had my pants in high school. It went from one level to another level, because one day in PE, there was like me and four others. And he told us about, you know, sagging your pants. And he's basically like, you know, prison, you'd be a bitch with those pants. And I was like,
all right. I was thinking of dudes.
That's advertising behind bars.
Hey, say less.
They got
Mr.
you
Mitchell.
On the straight and narrow just like dude. That. They gave you the scared, what was the scared straight
the
show?
The scared
back
straight,
kids to prison.
And I saw him at B-Dubs years ago, and we did a night. She randomly, I popped in. I forgot to tell him thank you for that moment, because that helped me tremendously.
You made me pull my pants up, which I desperately needed to do. Everybody
Anyways,
pull your pants up.
Vete Krejci no longer in big pants. He'll be be in a Blazer jersey soonish.
Maybe, maybe not tonight.
All jokes aside, Shaedon Sharpe upgraded to doubtful as well.
Sizable news.
Which means, because I checked in with my Blazer buddies, probably going to be questionable for Friday's big match against the Clippers, so might see Shaedon Sharpe against the Clips.
Yeah.
And if anything, if they can get to the playoffs play in, it sounds like he is going to be back, which I didn't think was going to happen. I don't think he's done for the year.
I figured he was out for the rest of the year based on the injury designation that they gave him. But to your point, I know I think Hykins reported this throughout the year. Like they usually follow the when you're close, they give you doubtful. That means you're not going to play. So he's probably not going to play tonight. But that usually means the next game up, you'll be upgraded to questionable or a game time decision. And then you're maybe going to get some minutes. So, I mean, there's a lot of follow up questions of one, how many more games are the Blazers actually going to play? Is it three regular season games, two play-in games, and you're done? Is it, right, are you going all the way to the first round? Are you winning the play-in and finding your way in and getting four playoff games, probably at most? So we don't know how many he'll actually end up being able to play, and we also don't know what the minutes restrictions will be because he will be on, as everybody else has been when they've come back from injuries, on a certain minutes restriction. He'll be coming off the bench, so you're not going to see 30 minutes and a high volume of shots, I would imagine. But just nice to see him back healthy and seemingly better than we imagined he would be at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I'm curious about is for something that I thought was done.
Yeah.
I mean, there's kind of a...
It doesn't really change anything for me, though, at the end of the season.
Well, for me, this kind of speaks to a couple of things. I don't think they're not jeopardizing Shaden's health, right? So he's clearly progressed to the point where he can come back and play. I also don't want to overlook the fact of how important it'd be for the organization to be in the playoffs financially.
Oh, they wouldn't make a lot of money.
And what's Tom Dunnan after?
You get a play. You get a play-in home game, which you're likely to get, and then you get
if you don't get the 8 seed, you're going to be the road team.
Yes.
Well, I know you'd host the 10.
But so if you lost, you'd host the second game.
So you're getting at
least
one.
They're going to host one play-in game
you're
gonna
get
no
the
matter
Warrior
what.
Game. And you're that's getting, a good game. That's Steph Curry coming to your building.
If that's the matchup.
So that's going to sell out.
Sizable game right there. Probably a lot of Warrior fans in town.
Yep.
The financial reasons are why they want to make it. That gate money for two home playoff games, if you get to the first round of the playoffs, is a lot of money. And it's something the organization hasn't had in a long time.
And I just, you know, I think the tough part when you come back from an injury after being gone for X amount of weeks. I don't know how many weeks it's been at this point.
It's been a while. I'll see when the last
time he played a game.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like forever ago he got hurt and he's been out. I just, you know, the expectation of what he's going to be, how he's going to fit back in the rotations. What are those rotations for Tiago Splitter?
I mean, can we play him over Chris Murray? Is that too much to ask?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. All Chris Murray does better than Shaedon Sharpe is rebound offensively.
There was this stat floating around.
Chris Murray is the worst shooter in basketball.
He's like literally the worst shooter in the league. He's shooting like 20% from three.
And I know he kind of gets a little credit defensively. I don't think he's particularly that great defensively. I think he's an okay help defender.
Sure, he's fine.
But I've watched several players beat him one-on-one, so like I'm not really that impressed. I literally think he only plays the offensive rebound.
I'm tired of hearing about him making shots in practice. Like, I don't care.
Right.
Like, clearly is not impacting the game. Can we not play him anymore? Nice
totally
first round
it.
Pick. Last game for Shaedon, February 6th.
God, dude.
So just over 2 months against Memphis. He played 14 minutes, got hurt.
That
in
was
the first,
Scoot's return
that
game.
Was Scoot's
and they didn't play
return
together.
Game. And he was out 14 minutes into the game.
That's right. I'm looking forward to seeing him, though.
Yeah, I mean, just having him out there will be nice. Ultimately, it doesn't change a lot for where I think they're going to go. Like, I don't look at them now and say, oh, okay, see, look out, baby.
Oh, no, I think
like, there's none of that.
That.
I don't even know if it changes my thought on them winning the play-in, right? I mean, they got a chance to
Does
do it.
Does it change your mind if he plays? I'm very curious about Friday.
He's not going to play that many minutes, though. Like, that's a tough part. Like, how many minutes do we think he's going to play on Friday?
He'll probably be in that 20 range.
Like, go back and look. Let's see what Scoot played. So when Scoot came back off the hamstring, which was that same game, ironically, I'll pull it up.
What was the injury for Shaedon again?
It was a fibula or something. But it was not what they originally said.
A stress reaction.
Stress reaction.
But that's not what it was initially, right? It was something else, and then they added another thing on top of it.
I thought it was a calf strain initially.
Yeah, initial
and
testing.
And then it was a stress reaction.
Yeah, I mean, Scoot played 20 minutes in his first game.
I think it'd be 20 minutes if he comes back Friday.
You're going to get 20 minutes maybe out of him.
Yeah.
If that, right? I don't know, you know, in terms of, he's going to come off the bench. We know he's going to come off the bench. And you're going to get some, you know, rotation minutes. We'll see how he looks. It's nice to have him back healthy in the lineup. I like watching Shaedon Sharpe play basketball.
Oh, yeah.
I think all of us hold on to the 5% hope that there's more in there, more in the tank that he could turn into. And the hope and the promise of where he was drafted and the athletic potential that he brings to the floor every night. But I'm happy to see him out there, not changing a lot for me at the end of the season, other than I'm glad he's healthy and able to play again.
Yeah, but it'd be really nice if he came back, even if he's on a minutes restriction. Because, look, the summer,
How do we view his year? Like, this is the whole point for me. Like, let's say he does come back and plays 20 minutes and looks great on Friday. Is it changing the way, like, is a two-game sample size changing the way you feel about
him?
No,
it's not about changing how I feel about him. I mean, I think
he's a good player who seems to have
it this way. I think everybody feels the same way about Shaden Sharpe.
Yes.
I don't think, there are people that don't want him because it's Portland and we're always this way. They don't want him involved in trades. I think the majority would kind of give you the same opinion on him and largely say, well, if I told you J-Dub was available this summer because the Thunder don't want to pay three
right.
$200 million players.
Dude, it's in a heartbeat.
You wouldn't hesitate.
In a heartbeat.
But also, I don't know if they'd want to take that contract back, right? So,
I mean, he's got a pretty affordable contract in my mind. He's a 20-point-per-game guy. Like,
yep.
That's you can have a role on an NBA team in that regard.
He's a 20-and-4 guy.
I just feel like our conversations about him have largely been the same, and he has improved in certain areas. He has not improved in others. I mean, he's a 34% three-point shooter this year. A lot of that was his disastrous start, but you got to 48-game sample size is shooting sub 35% from three, and that's not great for what you want him to be. It just feels like it's the same conversation. We know there's potential. We know how athletically, you know, talented he is.
Mm-hmm.
He has the ability to give you 20 on any given night and average 21 points, but he's also the kind of player that will leave you wanting more. He just is, he's falling into that category.
Yeah.
4 years into your career where it seems like it's very simple. We did this for years with Batum, who was a very good player and a well-rounded player. But what did we always say about him? Like,
it felt like there was
why
more
are you
that
not
could,
more consistent? Yeah. Like, I know you're good in this area and you can have games offensively
right.
where you explode. And then there's like a week where you disappear and I don't even know you're in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pop up and the numbers aren't terrible at the end of the year. 21 points is nothing to, you know, roll your eyes at. That's a good season for a guy who's 22 years old in the NBA.
Yeah.
But there's always been that thing with him of is there's got to be more in the tank. There's got to be a little more oomph, a little more push, a little more work ethic, intensity on the floor. And he just, for whatever reason, it has not fully clicked for him. Doesn't mean he's a bad player. I think the contract is very affordable, but I don't know if much in the last week of the season will change my mind on how I feel about him as an NBA player.
Yeah, I think my overall takeaway going from having a fun baby Kobe thing to what it really is, I think it's what a lot of basketball coaches kind of preach about in practices or in games with their teams. There is a locked in, not locked in factor with him.
Yeah.
And it's
some
just,
nights it's there and some nights
some
it's not.
Some nights, you can see it. He's there. He's engaged. He's got it going. He's all in. And other nights it's like, dude, are you awake?
Yeah.
The game has started.
Hey, let's go.
What are we doing?
Why are we down by 10 already?
And I just think, like, I saw a clip from Hyken that circulated yesterday on one of the Hoop Hypes things, and I thought he summed it up really well, which it kind of puts the – I think it sums up the organization situation going into an offseason, just a couple games left in the year, of if you took the work ethic and mentality of Scoot and you put it in Shaden's body, he'd be Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's kind of the problem, right? Scoot has the work ethic. Scoot has the mentality.
The
Scoot
drive.
Wants to be great, right?
Yeah.
It's not clicked yet, or it won't. Shaden has all of the tools.
6'5", 210, jump out of the gym.
46-inch vert. Yeah. Like, all you could want in an NBA player when you make a player
could do anything athletically on the floor,
and it's that one player that doesn't have that stuff
right.
has the right mentality, and the other one seems to kind of go back and forth on having the mentality.
And it's got to be just such a hard thing to think about as a front office again, because Shaden Sharpe's a good player. Like 21, I'm not just rolling my eyes at 20 points per game. He's filled the Anfernee Simons void. Like that was what Simons had, if I remember correctly. I think he was at 21 a game. 21 or 22. So it's like that's what Anfernee Simons was doing.
I know. We don't miss that at all.
Not at all, right? That's you can find another guy that can do it, and Shaden Sharpe did it. That's gotta be a nightmare for a front office, because in the back of your mind you will always think to yourself, how do we get that out of him? How do we get him to take that next step? How do we get him to be more engaged and focused and determined and play hard every single night? And it would keep me up at night, because you would worry about trading him and then it clicks. And yeah. Also the fear of if we don't trade him and it never clicks, do we miss a window where we could have gotten something for him and we didn't get anything out of it?
19 points and five assists last year for Ant in his last year with Portland.
So it's about the same.
On a worse field goal percentage.
Yeah. So Shaden's 21 a game, 4 rebounds, just 2.5 assists. So the assist number is a little bit lower, point per game a little bit higher.
I think I do think we're going to end up with a new coach.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, and it's not that's not a trashing of Thiago. It's just it kind of feels that way to me.
Yeah.
And we'll have to kind of wait and see on all that as the season is still happening.
That just seems to be the vibe of him as an owner where Cronin is still the biggest question to me.
I think he's giving Joe and Dwayne Hankins
one year.
We'll see what you do.
President, I agree with, because you got a lot going on business-wise behind the scenes.
You can't just up and restart a lot of
stuff. Bring a new guy in. Like, that's not ideal. But the GM one is interesting. That's one I'm circling.
Well, when you show a guy that, hey, I got this big deal that could happen. And yesterday, the Shams stuff, I know we're against it. Shams had a big story on Giannis in Milwaukee.
This is just a disaster.
Yeah, it's an utter disaster. But it kind of reinforces my thought of Dundon's comment at his press conference. I think they had the framework of a trade, not an actual trade. This could go down right now. Oh, but I'm not the owner. Don't do it.
Right.
Because Portland was not listed on the Shams article. Every team that was, and
right.
Portland was not one of them.
They were not on that list.
Not saying they can't be or they weren't. It was more like maybe it wasn't Giannis.
Maybe it was somebody else.
Maybe it was Harden randomly, you know.
James Harden. Man, well, eat a lot of crow on that one if he wins us anything.
Yeah.
I take it all back.
Would he be our best player?
Yes.
Yes, he would.
Absolutely.
But to your point yesterday on the Shade and Scoot stuff, the unfortunate nature is, even though they gave Shaden the deal, the $90 million deal, the reality is that, like, now we go forward and we go forward with Tumani, Denny, Donovan.
Yeah, it's pivoting.
It's no longer Shaden Scoot.
No.
What can you get? What are they?
Back-to-back
They're
top
here,
10 picks. They're here.
But it's not about them. Those three are far more important than the other two.
Still happy for him, the fact that he's back in the lineup. I hope he gets a chance to play Friday, and he looks good doing it. I'm
always
rooting for Shaden Sharpe.
And we'll see what they do tonight. I know we'll talk about that at the back end of the show as they get ready to take on the Spurs, who will probably be without Wimby tonight. But
doesn't mean it's a guaranteed win either,
because
they've been pretty good without him at times.
They have. They're still a feisty, pretty athletic young team. All right, we have a lot more to get into in the second hour. Do you like chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream? And which enemy are you rooting for in an enemy versus enemy fight? We'll talk about that at 7:45. Coming up next, we'll stick with this theme locally, and some guys talked. I've listened to it. I want to discuss it. Coming up next on 105.1 The Fan. Are you a chocolate or vanilla ice cream guy? We'll get to that. And which enemy are you rooting for? You have to pick one. You got
to
root for an enemy.
Pick an enemy to root for?
Well, the enemy of your enemy is your friend.
That is true.
But which side are you going? Which way are you going? I have an answer that I think you should have.
Okay.
I'll be very curious to hear your answer.
I'm assuming
these
are my enemies we're talking about here.
Your enemies.
My sworn enemies.
And I'll tell you why I'm bringing that up today.
Okay.
Also, something to ponder, we may get to today, may not. Is small ball back in baseball?
Should
I have
be.
A working theory, having watched quite a few games this season. It feels like it is, but I don't have any articles giving me raw data and numbers.
I wish it was.
To prove my point.
Hit a single and lay down a bunt.
It feels like I'm seeing that a lot more than swinging out of your butt for a home run.
That's great. You're hitting .178 and you're striking out 74% of the time. That's a lot of fun to watch.
But sticking with the Blazers theme,
yes,
because we had to wait for Shaden. He's doubtful tonight. Probably going to come back for Friday's game. I listened to a podcast, and I have about 10 minutes of it left.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jailblazer doc was announced while I was out, so you talked about that.
We did, yeah. We did a segment on that.
I touched on it very, very briefly, but not much because it was such an older story.
Yeah, my whole point was just I hope they acknowledge what that team meant for fans of our age, because I think there's a generational gap there for older fans who view it a certain way,
yeah,
who had the Clyde teams that they loved, or you're old enough to remember Walton. Yeah. Like, they're a stain on the Blazers' legacy, whereas if you're of our age, that's all we got.
So Bonzi, Sheed, and Damon Stoudemire did an All the Smoke podcast with Matt Barnes.
Okay, yeah.
So Barnes was at UCLA when that team was around. He's an L.A. guy. He's a Laker fan. But he said he loved this team because he smoked weed all the time. And
well, hey, we did too, buddy.
Look at those guys. They're doing it too.
He would have fit right in, man.
He weirdly has a line in it. He goes, when you guys were playing in the West Finals, like, I was a Laker fan, but I was watching my dorm room at UCLA getting high as a kite rooting for you guys. I was like,
yeah, thanks, Barnes.
And I think what you just said is exactly what my takeaway is. There's some fun tidbits from this. They talked about, you know, had they had Sabas when Sabas was supposed to be in his prime and at least having a healthier leg than being on one leg.
Coming over a little bit sooner.
Thinks they would have gotten over the hump because of how amazing he was and he couldn't even fully move. Talked about what Pippen's impact was, breaking up the team prematurely, overreacting. how the organization treated them versus how the media and the city kind of viewed them was two different worlds they lived in. And I'm always forever going to be interested in that story, even when this comes out. I'll end up watching it. And
I think it's next Tuesday, if I'm not wrong, I believe is the release
14th.
Date. Okay.
The 14th. So, yeah, so it's next week. And so I'll probably watch this, and I'll have my own takeaways, and we'll talk about it. But it was just interesting to hear the stories and hear a Laker fan doing the podcast going, yeah, I rooted for you guys because, well, I didn't really care. Yeah. And I think you nailed it. So I'm 39. I'm going to be 40 in December, and you're just a couple years younger than me.
37.
Swag is a really interesting test case here because Swag has enough of an age gap for us, and we have listeners out there that I meet that are all kinds of ages. They're in their upper 60s. I've met 70-year-old listeners. I've met younger listeners. Like
We have people, when I was doing that segment two weeks ago, texting in saying, I remember the 77 championship game.
Exactly.
And that was the moment of my fandom.
And,
right?
And that's a really cool thing I think that the radio show provides is the different mix of ages. And so, like, I'm with you, Dirt, of that was in the sweet spot of my life, sports-wise. I was watching everything. I was following it. And I just still to this day, like, Sheed's one of my favorite Blazers. I loved the rebel nature of him. Bonzi has a line where he's like, I grew up on the bad boy Pistons. I kind of just viewed us as that. And then I got older, and I started realizing there's a little more to our nickname than just, oh, you guys get into some mischief. He's like, Damon said it. He's like, it felt pretty racist to us. But that's neither here nor there. To me, I loved everything about that team. Now, I do think there's two different versions of the team that existed.
Without a doubt.
I loved the FU, give me a technical, but we were really good.
Competing for championships.
Competing, being in the playoff picture. And then there's the very tail end where some of those guys weren't even here.
No, they came in and just...
Yeah, and it carried over into a new batch of guys. And so I've always kind of broke it up into two different groups.
And there's also crimes that, you don't want players that are breaking the law, but there's also a drastic difference in my mind to you smoked a little bit of weed or you had a, weed in a tinfoil.
Yeah, you did something stupid.
Or you were fighting dogs or raping people.
Yes.
Like, there's a massive difference between those two things in my mind.
Absolutely.
And I think that gets to your point of there's a split there between the earlier days and the later days of the Jail Blazers.
Well, I heard this, so I was driving home. We had our office client party on Friday, and I bailed about 5 minutes before it ended at 6. And so I'm on my way home, and I just have the fan on my car all the time because I love radio. And I heard Joey Harrington say this to Isaac and Sukov, like, he said when Rashid threw the towel in Sabas's face on the sidelines, he boycotted him for years.
Mm.
And Joey isn't that much older than me.
No.
But I also, my takeaway was like, no way did I do that. That wasn't my reaction. I didn't like it because I loved Sabas and I loved Sheed, and I didn't like to see them fighting.
47.
Competition is going to breed sometimes in guys a little a-hole nature. And so when I heard him say that, like, even that is an example. It's a 8-year gap between me and him, and I had an entirely different feel and takeaway. And I know a lot of people did boycott the franchise.
Yeah.
I just wasn't one of them.
I might have felt that way if I were older and I could remember the runs in the late 80s and 90s when we were actually playing in NBA Finals and having a chance to win them. And those would probably be my most beloved teams. But I'm not old enough to remember that. I remember end.
They won't replace the Finals teams of 90 and 92
Of course, and nor should they, because those teams actually got to Finals. And they were together for a long time and they weren't getting in trouble off the floor. But I didn't I don't have that in my fandom. It's one of those things, like, I have this debate with our boss all the time about championships you'll brag about. Like, I wasn't alive for that. I can watch highlights. I can go back and watch old games. The Clyde Drexler storylines I remember were him getting traded. That's the Clyde that I remember.
Yeah, it was a messy divorce.
And that wasn't pretty, but like, I didn't, that's the frustration that I have. And so when you're our age and the only thing you have to, we all want to have a chance here. Like, we're a one show town in a lot of ways with the Blazers, where so many people will follow that and the other fan bases are a little more fringy and you don't follow it day in and day out. Mm-hmm. But we still have city pride with the other teams, of course. Like, we haven't been relevant in a quarter century. We haven't had a legitimate shot at winning a title since those teams.
Yeah, I know.
The only time we got to a conference final is because of a lucky seeding outcome in the first or the second round. We'd have to play the Warriors. And even without their best players, we got swept in that series, and we didn't have a legitimate chance of winning it. So it's been over half of my life since we've had a legitimate shot at doing anything that matters, and that was the last team that did. And so that was the first time I ever cried about a sporting event. I bawled my eyes out when they lost game 7.
Yeah, I have a different perspective because I always thought I never canceled them. I never resented them. I never boycotted them. They frustrated the hell out of me.
You can be embarrassed of some of the stuff as a fan. I'm like, damn it, dude.
Yeah, And I always thought, they got in their own way from achieving the full greatness.
There's a ton of frustration
potential.
There.
You
for
know what's
sure.
interesting is, and I know we're against it.
Yeah. But I have a different perspective. There is a box score that exists that has my name and Damon Stoudemire's name in the same box score.
Yeah.
Why is your name in it?
High school
state
basketball.
Quarterfinals.
Oh, that's right. He's your age.
Yeah. Yeah. I high school, forget about
he's 2 years younger than me.
That's right.
There's a box score that exists.
I love that you have that. Is it framed? It would be so funny.
I would absolutely
if it was framed.
Frame it.
I
got to
go. I don't know if I ever, if somebody clipped it.
You should have got it signed when he was at Pacific.
Yeah.
You should have. Yeah.
That would be really
fun. Calling
like
a Pilots game?
Against you years
Did
ago.
You ever talk to him in any of those Pilot games?
No.
Yeah. You should have.
You should have.
Yeah. He probably would have loved it.
Locked it down when I was at Lakers.
No,
back
he
in
was
the day.
Lining up dates when I got in the game.
When Swag's playing, it's time to hit on the girls.
Oh, yeah.
Stealing.
I did play the whole fourth quarter of that game.
Yeah.
A little lopsided one.
I just think it's very interesting to listen to them because you say they got in their own way. Go listen to the pod. I not right now, obviously. Not between the hours of 6 and 10 a.m.
No.
But if you ever get a moment today, tomorrow, sometime this weekend, like you should listen to the pod. It's there's not a lot of eye-opening things. Some of the stuff we actually heard from Damon on our interview when we found out they were... This was Bonzi's idea, by the way, the dog.
Right.
And Rasheed was like... He was asked why he did, and he's like, because Bonzi wouldn't leave me alone. Yeah. Stop messaging me, so I finally did it. You talk about them getting in their own way. They actually have a different perspective of that. They basically... They roundabout way say the organization interrupted their way. So I had forgot how truly young they were when they made the finals in 99 against the Spurs.
Yeah, the Western Conference
they
finals.
They were in their 20s. They were 25, like 25 years old.
It was Trader Bob. He couldn't stop making moves.
He
never let the
tweaking.
Meal cook. He had it in the crock pot, and he pulled it early.
The Dale Davis trade, and then let's bring in Ruben Patterson. And like they had a moment, and they thought they were going to build on that, and then it just every time the organization, which they admittedly say treated them really well and didn't like look at them negatively, this kept like railroading their way off of it. So, yeah, they did some stuff that got headlines, but I think we placed the wrong blame there. I don't look at them per se and say, well, they ruined it. They got in their own way. The organization kept screwing with it too much, and then it gets tweaked to the point where you have too many bad characters and, oh, here's my trading card, officer.
Yeah.
That's who I am. That's my identification. Like,
then it blows up in your face.
And then it blows up in your face and guys are getting moved. So, just an interesting takeaway, having listened to the podcast yesterday, the Up in the Smoke one with the Jailblazers guys. The Jailblazer doc is out. And to your point, dude, I mean, for people our age.
It's all we got, man.
The 90s teams, the late 80s teams, a little too young for some of us out there. We appreciate it. We respect it. We acknowledge the second best
without
era,
a doubt, yes.
But that team gave us winning, and they unfortunately didn't get over the hump, but we haven't had anything. The best moment of that Dame Western Conference Finals run isn't even the conference finals. It's game seven at Denver.
Or the Dame shot in the first round.
Right.
Either one. I mean, those are first or second round.
Those are the two memories. It's
you didn't
not the
win
Western
a game
Conference Finals at all.
In the conference finals.
My memory was seeing Bill Walton and Scottie Pippen standing next to each other at Western Conference Finals. That's all I cared about in that final.
Seeing the logo on the floor is the only thing that stands out to me of like, hey, we actually got the logo back on the floor. That's cool.
Do you like chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream? 503-864-6326. I'll tell you why I'm asking that next on The Fan. I'll just add to it. I know we went long there on the Blazer thing, and really good thoughts at the Fan text line at 503-864-6326. Where would your head coach after the first game of the season being arrested by the FBI rank of all the crimes committed by the Jailblazers? Did we ever really escape it?
Yeah, it's pretty high up there. Pretty high up
I just,
there.
There's been things that
this
have happened
here.
This
guy's tied into the mob, man. What are we doing?
With the mafioso. What are we doing?
He's a face guard.
There is a coach down in Eugene, Oregon. We got spring football going on. They took a momentary pause, but they're back.
Yes, they are.
And he's the quarterback coach who once played defensive line for the Ducks.
Yes, he's a very interesting backstory of coaching.
Very interesting backstory. I'm not as familiar with all the staff members of every program.
What's the matter with you?
Well, I'm not quite a sicko to your level.
I mean, you asked me who named three coaches on Oregon State staff. I don't know if I could do it either. So it's kind of a one thing.
That's
only.
Okay. Koa Kai. Sounds like a character in The Karate Kid.
He does, doesn't he?
But he is a badass for Oregon. He is their quarterback coach.
I don't remember him as a player, so if we're going to be honest, in the trust tree here, I don't. He played for 4 years. He was there for the entire, he was there at the end of Chip and then beginning of Helfrich.
Oh, okay.
He played in that era, like 2010 to 14-ish, I want to say.
I'll take your word for it.
I don't remember him as a player.
I don't either. But Koekkai was at a post-spring practice press conference, and he had this to say about how he evaluates quarterbacks in big moments.
Like, I ask him a question like this all the time. Hey, do you like chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream? Yeah, the minute a kid pauses, I don't really want that kid, right? Because you need to have some type of conviction, right, wrong, or indifferent. Okay? So whether you like chocolate or you like vanilla, I don't really care. But if you sit there and say, ah, coach, I don't know. I want, is it melted? Is it not? What's the brand? So on and so forth. Like, what is this kid going to do on third down in front of 110,000? He's probably going to think about it more than he should. He's not going to have conviction, right? So it's... like I just said, long-winded, I understand, but it's the mental aspect. It's really what we're after.
Should be noted for the record, Dante refers to him as a genius.
They love this guy.
They do love this guy. He is a landing guy, if there's ever been a landing guy.
Yeah.
He has been elevated to quarterback coach. This went incredibly viral, and I'll just say this.
Rightfully so.
Sometimes I think coaches in any sport, I think what they do is they get way too into the weeds, and they try to outthink the room, and I think that's what happened just in this instance. Doesn't mean he's not a good coach.
No.
Doesn't mean the quarterbacks won't perform on third down. But half his team can't identify which girl they like more that's in their life, let alone which ice cream flavor they're going to pick as
soon as
you ask.
Well, what if I just say, do you like chocolate or vanilla? And I just say, yes. I like ice cream. You want to call run play? You want to call pass play? I don't care. Give me a damn play and I'll run it.
I'll defend his, you can't give me the context you need to pick. I'll actually defend the people who do because he is totally wrong on this. If you're talking freshly scooped on the cone, it's vanilla.
Oh, slightly, get out of here.
Stop.
Get out of here.
Slightly
melted. Get out of the room now.
Melted.
I don't want you as my quarterback anymore.
Slightly melted?
You're throwing
chocolate
bait.
All day. Chocolate softer? And slightly melted
get
is the winner.
Vanilla ice cream brings nothing to your life.
You lick vanilla ice cream to the melt point.
You like eating cardboard, too?
Coach, I like swirl. I like swirl.
I love swirl.
When you make mac and cheese, do you eat the Kraft box while you're at it, too? You might as well do that if you like vanilla ice cream. It's the same thing. There's no flavor.
Freshly scooped, it's vanilla.
You paint all your walls white like you're in an insane asylum.
Yeah, but vanilla a la mode to go with pie or cake or whatever. That's fantastic.
The fact that you have no context in your choice tells me I don't trust you on third.
Chocolate ice cream is the only answer here. There is one answer and one answer only. Chocolate ice cream is significantly better than vanilla ice cream.
Slightly
melted,
yes.
Vanilla ice cream, you need qualification. Well, I could put syrup on it. Well, I could put some toppings on it. Well, I could. Yeah, because you need more to enhance the vanilla ice cream because it's vanilla. That's the definition of not having enough flavor to satisfy you in life. You don't need to add anything to chocolate. The flavor is there. It's perfect. I don't need syrup. I don't need gummy bears. No. I don't need Sour Patch Kids. I don't need M&Ms. I have a chocolate ice cream, and that's all that I need.
French vanilla ice cream. You get that vanilla bean. You scrape that bean.
You scrape that bean?
Scrape
Look
that
you.
Bean.
Didn't have you guys for missionary ice cream, guys. I'm disappointed in you, man. I thought you like a little spice in your life.
I do like a little spice
in my
life.
Zest it up. Wear some leather every now and then. Get a whip out.
Now,
get creative and exotic.
You scoop some chocolate in a cup. It's going to melt a little quicker than on the cone, and when it gets that little glossy layer over it, chocolate's the winner. Now it looks like frozen, it just got scooped, it's sitting there on the cone. Dude, you take vanilla to the point that you hope chocolate is at, is what you do there. All right?
You can't do it, no matter what you add to it. You cannot. There's nothing that you can put on vanilla to make it better than chocolate. It just, there's not a world that exists that vanilla
I'm telling you when it's better. That's the point. That's the only point it's better. You lick vanilla to the melt point. Chocolate at a slight melt point is infinitely better than vanilla.
The funny response to
this. If I come at coach and I go, I like coffee ice cream. Deal with that.
Deal with
strawberry,
that.
Loser.
We're moving you to a long snapper, okay? We don't trust you on third. The funny response would have been.
I'm not a specialist.
Did you get an answer from Dante on this before the first play against
exactly.
Indiana? Because he threw a pick six in front of 100,000 people and, you know, looked like he was questioning things that he was seeing and holding onto the ball a little too long in time. So maybe we need to ask more ice cream questions to our quarterbacks.
You don't like my context of my setup here, and that's fine.
No, because I don't like it. I understand the phrasing of, like, you want quick. You want split second, like that part of it I get. If I ask you a question, don't add context to it. Chocolate or vanilla? Go.
But there's context.
You don't need to add context. What do you like better?
You do.
You don't need to. Not in everything in life.
Well, not
cheese
everything.
Cheese pizza or pepperoni pizza? Go.
Pepperoni.
Okay. So you can do it there.
I
can. Why
can
you do it there?
Looks every time.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Coke.
Diet Coke.
Right.
We're doing Diet Coke.
Right? So it's like chocolate or vanilla. I get it. There's one that you like more than the other.
Slight melted chocolate. Slight. I like the glossy liquid look over it. It's perfect.
You just fumbled the snap.
Now chocolate is softer, it's perfect.
You didn't read the blitzing linebacker. You didn't see him coming.
Frozen chocolate's not good.
Nailed you from behind.
Frozen chocolate is no bueno here. Okay?
Hold the cone in your hand for a minute, and you'll be fine.
What kind of chocolate?
Guess what it does when it's out of the freezer?
Belgian chocolate.
It melts. Yeah. All ice cream eventually becomes a little bit softer. Do you realize that?
I do realize
that.
Okay,
that's how the technology works.
I'm sorry, I
have
context in regards to ice cream. That's my bad. Don't trust me on 3rd and 10.
No, I'm not trusting you on 3rd and 10. I'll give you an immediate answer. It's chocolate and chocolate only.
Okay.
I'm going to put this poll question up for today. Chocolate or vanilla?
I hate it because you're going to win.
Of course I'm going to win because there's a right answer here.
But slightly melted chocolate is better than just freshly scooped chocolate. Okay?
Then hold on to your cone. Wow. Hold it in your hand. Hot day. Give that thing 45 seconds. It's going to be slightly melted.
What a ridiculous way to evaluate, by the way.
It's really stupid.
Be a good coach. Of all the things, cheese or pepperoni, those are both the same thing, same temperature, same qualifiers. One has pep, one doesn't. Choose. That's an easy choice.
My pepperoni pizza has cheese on it, too. Give me more.
Exactly. Give me more. Give me more.
The story of him, so he played defensive line at Oregon, it went back to Hawaii, coached high school football for a while, and then like just started helping out his local high school. His dad was a high school coach. Whenever you get somebody who coached or played a different position or a different side of the ball becomes a coach for another position, it's always very interesting to me. Like a defensive lineman becoming a quarterback coach is a wild move career-wise, but they rave about him. They love him, and when Stein moved on, he was the no-brainer. They said he was already coaching quarterbacks last year, and they basically just made it official this year.
I'm curious to watch, man. They're going to be really good. We know that about them.
They're raving about this guy as like he's the next, like,
he's the next
give
in
it
line.
2-3 years, yeah. And he's going to be head coach. I mean, well, time will tell.
That's
on
kind of what happens with Landon Dillingham. So
that's the way they're saying. That's what they say about him internally, yeah.
Yeah, I am interested, too, I played defensive line my whole career, but I'm really good on offense.
It's very weird.
It's very interesting.
But we've seen a lot of coaches over the years do that. Like, I actually watched a whole press conference yesterday, and I saw this, and I'm like, ooh, that's not.
Well, he probably watched more film on offense than defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think he says he brings his perspective, his coaching. He's coached tight ends. He's coached defensive
line. That's a good viewpoint,
He was a wide receiver coach, and he said, I have, like, a holistic approach to the quarterback room and all that stuff. I forgot my train of thought because I can't stop thinking about chocolate ice cream now. Now I'm hungry.
We're all thinking about different things right now, you know?
Yes, we are.
A lot to get to in the next 2 hours and 15 minutes. Coming up next, we'll stick in college football. I was reading some stuff yesterday, and something struck me. Which enemy of Dirt's football team do you root for between the enemy off? Okay, and I'll tell you why I'm bringing this up next on The Fan. This is why Park Rose was terrible and Cleveland had the PIL Player of the Year. Can it, Brand, man?
Gotta have conviction. Reading the text line in that break was fantastic.
It's good.
A lot of vanilla fans out there.
You are poo-pooing vanilla a little too much.
A lot of vanilla fans.
I totally get your point. What is the best thing for a Blizzard or a McFlurry? It's having a vanilla base.
Right.
But to your point, you need other things to make it elite.
Some really good ones in here. Somebody said chocolate is for children, the hot dog and ketchup of ice cream. That was pretty good.
That would be right up your alley.
Hold on. There was one other one that made me. There was one about Sprague. This is in Sprague's ocean of bad takes. This is top five bad of all time.
What?
And then another one. Has there ever been a bigger Sprague pick than vanilla over chocolate? You've got to be kidding
me. Dude, you're not listening to me. I'm taking chocolate overall, but I'm giving you the context of freshly scooped on the cone. Vanilla is better slightly frozen.
Yep.
Now, when you get to that slight melt point, chocolate is elite.
The only thought I had yesterday watching this.
Animals, listen to it.
Seeing this clip go viral is the second Dante Moore has a bad game, rightfully so, this is going to go viral again.
Somebody did say, should he have an audible called chocolate, chocolate?
Chocolate, chocolate! Vanilla!
Vanilla bean! Vanilla bean!
Not a great day.
No, but it'll be all
right. It is what it is.
Before we get to the third hour of the program, I want to ask you, which enemy do you root for? Very interesting. So Washington got a huge quarterback commit yesterday.
Look at you following high school recruiting in April. Signing day is a long ways away. I love it, dude.
I go to 24/7.
Am I rubbing off
websites
on you over there? We're following Washington high school football recruiting.
I mean, you know, football is football, right?
That
so I'm following. So Washington gets a big quarterback commit yesterday. It's massive news in the recruiting ranks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at the composite rankings. So you had USC trolling Oregon a couple times.
Yes.
And I look at the 2027, and that's very far away. But composite rankings right now, Washington
is
sixth overall, and USC is fourth.
Yes, they are.
They finished with, I believe, the same record last year, right? 8-4?
No, USC was 9-3.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I think USC was 9-3. They lost their bowl game. They might have. No, because did Washington win their bowl game? I can't remember.
Who cares?
I don't
about
think
the bowl
they did.
Game.
I don't know.
Yeah, USC was. Oh yes, 9-3 in the regular season, yeah. And Washington finished 9-4. They had the same record, 9-4. Okay.
Who do they beat? Who do they play in their bowl game?
No one cares. So I want to ask you this: between them, which of those two former Pac-12 foes do you think can step up into a Big Ten conversation? Like USC last year finished fourth. Michigan now has Whittingham, and Washington was just barely behind them.
Yeah.
Of those two, Jet Fish is recruiting really well. So is USC. But who do you trust? Not trust? Between your enemies, do you root for one over the other?
God, no. I want both of them to die. I think that the more accurate question would be, who am I more scared of? Like, who shakes my boots a little bit more?
Yeah.
And it's not even close.
It's Washington.
It's USC. It's not even close. There's nothing scary to me about
Washington Jetfish. Played you guys much tougher than USC did.
That's debatable. They were both double-digit games. USC was in it until a punt return. Washington never really was in the game, and then they had one moment, and then they gave up a 70-yard touchdown pass.
Benson to your point, the offense
both games were very
anything.
Similar. It was one was lower scoring, one was higher scoring. USC's offense had more success.
Huskies
Washington's
defense was pretty good.
Was better. Yeah. But both games were double-digit games. If you're just asking me about who scares me more in terms of jumping into to the fray of an actual Big Ten title contender, it's USC. It's not even close. I don't view Jed Fish as that scary of a coach, and I certainly have made a lot of fun of Lincoln Riley. There's a difference between what Washington's doing on the recruiting trail and USC having a number one recruiting class in the country. Washington right now, like you can give me the composite ranking is in the top six or whatever it is in the country, and that's solid. I saw the kid that they signed yesterday. Their average rating per commit in that class is outside the top 25. Mm-hmm. They're in the top six because they've signed 7 3-star kids, and not many programs have signed 11 players yet for the 2027 class.
That's always context
so it's just,
of recruiting.
You got it like, yeah, you got a volume there, but what's the quality of your volume? Mm-hmm. And so there was a little bit of that with USC and Oregon last year. But when you're breaking down the recruiting class between the two, you're kind of splitting hairs. Right, like USC's overall was better, Oregon's player rating was better, but they're both near the top of the sport. And I don't view Washington as ever being to that level. I think they can get better. I'm not saying they can't improve, and I'm not saying they can't ever beat Oregon again. But do I look at Washington and Jed Fish and think to myself that they can turn into a perennial contender in the Big Ten with the teams that are in this conference right now? And my answer is no.
See, I'm a little surprised to hear you say not your takes on Lincoln versus Jed, more that you may not like them, either of them, may hate them even. I would just think you would rather have Washington be the better of the two because you cannot match.
No.
Why?
No, I never want them to win a game.
Yeah, I get that.
I don't need them to be good.
The two,
I don't care. I hope they go 0-12 every
year. Well, the enemies are not going to go 0-12 against each other.
I mean, they did go 0-12 once.
They're just in a little bit of a battle, and I find it very interesting. Like, Oregon is above both of them. Like, beat Oregon before I know Washington did a couple years ago.
Oh, they're both running their mouth in the offseason,
with the two new coaches,
They're both winless against Oregon.
Right, so... Yeah. I just think it's more fun regionally.
Oh, there's certainly
when Washington
there, yeah.
is better versus USC is down in LA, and you have the meringue thing. But
as a radio host, it's better when Washington is good.
That's what I think.
Then it's more entertaining for the rivalry. But as a fan, if you ask me, as a fan, like no, dude,
I'm asking you on the radio, so I'm talking to radio.
As
dirt.
Radio dirt, sure, I would rather have Washington be relevant because then their fans want to interact with the show and they want to go back and forth. I think both coaches are very similar. They're offensive-minded coaches and play callers who have weaknesses. But if I ask you, who scares you more as a head coach?
Well, I'd probably slightly lean Lincoln. But
you
both,
have to.
But like, both have very problematic, trustworthy issues.
No doubt about it. But Lincoln Riley's at least won Heisman trophies and been to playoffs.
I get it.
He's at least accomplished enough as a head coach.
His last 3 years have not
been
good.
It's not been good. And I've been very out and open about how underwhelming and disappointing he's been. And USC fans saying 8-4 is good enough. There's still the idea that it's USC and their ability to recruit will always be scarier than whatever Washington is bringing to the table.
Washington lost their entire team. 2 seasons ago, they were 9-4 in year two.
Yeah.
All I'm saying, I understand the DeMond stuff. I'm just saying, like,
can't beat a team with a pulse, but aren't
totally fair.
Yeah.
But lost everybody, everything.
Yeah.
I just
maybe don't run option to the short side of the field, and you'll win a couple more games.
Well, you're not wrong there.
Let's beat the Cougs. Let's start there.
They did last year in Pullman.
That's right. They did finally beat the Cougs. That's right.
Game.
Congrats.
There you go. They
congrats
got
on beating the Cougs.
Second form. Okay, so you're rooting for the Meteor.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the Meteor. The Meteor is the answer here.
Loaded third hour of the program, including Matt Miller at 8:45. Hour number 3, Dirt and Sprague, Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan.